The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Actually, we're coming to you from my office in the studio building at the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, that is 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, our flagship network, the bird in the stratosphere, or in the low Earth orbit, geosynchronous Earth orbit. Folks, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can watch us live and by archive at your YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. On the right-hand side, top right, you'll see a complete menu. There you can catch us. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found right there at our home base, HagmanandHagman.com. Now, folks, don't forget, we've got three different websites. We've got HagmanandHagman.com. That's for show information. That's where you go and you can see the show, you can watch the show, you can get the show information. And then HagmanReport.com. Now, don't underestimate, folks, the importance of Hagman and HagmanReport.com, because there you can find the articles both submitted and submitted by others and aggregated. But the articles that are hand-selected based on certain metrics that really are important, that you really need to know. And there's a lot of time spent by Rhonda. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of time that's meant to go into the evaluation of each particular story as it relates to this broadcast and your life, more importantly. And then my little corner on the internet, it's HomelandSecurityUS.com. I've had that for a long time. And I'm going to be picking that back up. I am working and have completed a very large project. I will be announcing later this week. I'm not prepared to announce it tonight, but a very large project I've completed. I'll be announcing it later this week for your information. I think it's pretty exciting. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. Tonight I'm flying solo. The reason I'm in my office tonight, I'm flying solo. Joe's got the night off tonight. He'll be back tomorrow night. I like to say together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Now, tonight, as the program unfolds, hour number one, we're going to be hitting some pretty serious news headlines and what have you. Hour two, the same thing, except a little bit more in depth. And hour three, we've got Dave Hodges coming on for a specific reason, which we're going to address here shortly. And it's rather unusual that different sources, almost concurrently, at very inconvenient hours of the night, come together and tap both Dave Hodges and myself and others and say, hey, pay attention to what's coming down the pike here, because this is going to affect all of us. This is going to affect you, this is going to affect Dave, it's going to affect people like Steve Quayle and others. You need to know this, all right? So we're going to be getting into that. I'll be getting into that here shortly. I do want to mention that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Health Masters. That's healthmasters.com. Folks, take advantage like I am doing. As a matter of fact, this morning, my wife and I sat at the breakfast table and before I left for the studio, and we made out a list of the various nutritional supplements that we needed to buy, and we submitted an order. But here's the deal with healthmasters.com. In the coupon code area, you want 5% off your order? Just write or type in Doug 5. That's D-O-U-G and the number 5, and you get 5% off. That's through the end of the month. Also, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Now, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, all things survival-related. Yes, long-term storable food. You've got survival supplies and products. And, folks, you know, they're a veteran-owned, Christian-owned company. They have a fantastic Christian outreach. As a matter of fact, they to those who cannot afford Bibles, they have purchased King James Version Bibles, and they are, in fact, giving them out to those in need. Now we'd ask that you contact them, but we'd ask that you really have a need, the inaffordability for such, to ask for a free Bible. But they take care of the Bible, the shipping, it's no strings. So what a fantastic initiative. And I just want to thank each and every one of you joining us tonight. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You could be doing 100 million things, or you could be doing a lot of things tonight, aside from listening to this program. But thanks for tuning in. We have a lot of information to cover. And I want to say hello to individuals, to listeners who've checked in already via our website. All you have to do is go to HagmanandHagman.com and fill out the contact us form. There, we have listeners checking in from all across the United States. We've got a couple of people checking in from London, UK, Canada, Newfoundland, Central and South America. We've got all across the globe. So thank you so much. And I just, again, I want to say thank you so much to Rhonda, for her work that she's just been doing so much work on the Hagman Report website. JD for his graphic, his wonderful post-production graphic work. And, Joe Charles, we get so many emails say, hey, who, where's that music from, during the breaks? Well, it's Joe Charles. Music of Joe Charles. It's on the HagmanandHagman.com website. And if you want to contact him, I mean, obviously, just I believe there is a method of contacting him if you wanted to. No, you can't get him to do your outgoing message. No. And of course, I'm going to thank Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech, I was sitting over there in his cockpit of what looks to be like a 767. I'm not sure, a fighter jet or something to that effect. But he's got more screens open than more screens up and shining in his face than I've ever seen. So, see, from my office vantage point, I can actually see the back side of Eric's head and what he's looking at. So I can actually see, like, wow, all these buttons and knobs. But he won't let me touch any of them. And I guess that's a good thing. All right. Yeah, really, coming out of the gate tonight, folks, this weekend was a pretty intense weekend, and I'll tell you why. Dave Hodges contacted me Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, late Sunday evening. And I had been in contact with a source, mine from D.C., earlier on Sunday. Now, this is the conversation I had with my source, and I'm not going to get into who this individual is, but pretty knowledgeable about the intelligence world and about things of intelligence. He said, hey, Doug, I want to tell you something. Remember that Drudge, the tweet, I guess, is that what they're called, tweets, that Drudge had sent out not too long ago about things changing? He had some information, inside information, about how things are going to be taking place and about what's coming in the near term. Well, my source said things, what he was referencing to, and that was, of course, the First Amendment rights of broadcasters. That's what he was referencing, and that's what is at issue today. I said, what do you mean? He said, basically, you disagree with the... I'm going to take this out here. He said, "You disagree with the government, or if you act as a dissident of the government, or if you support, for example, the Bundys, and you can insert any name in there if you don't want to use the Bundys as an example. then the government has reclassified you. Now, you might say, wait a minute, that's a done deal, right? The MIAC report and so on and so forth. That's already a done deal. No. Through an upcoming executive action, which will actually massage the information in the or the administrative actions of previous executive orders and actions, two different things, homegrown violent or homegrown extremists are now being reclassified. Did you catch that, perhaps? Well, let me tell you. I'm going to kind of quote from Dave Hodges. Again, he's going to be with us in hour number three. Dave Hodges, hour number three. And for those joining you late, I'm flying solo. Joe's got the night off tonight, but should be back tomorrow. Prophetic words by George W. Bush. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Now, at the time, I thought, man, that's a great thing, right? That's exactly right. Right on the money. That's what I thought. Makes sense. We're being gamed and we are being conditioned, and I fell into this trap just like everyone else did. What he was saying basically is it's unpatriotic to disagree with us. Now, you might ask, well, everyone might say that's a pretty far jump from being a terrorist to someone who just disagrees with the government. No. The ideological differences between the government and the people right now have never been greater. Now, October 2015, Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show, thecommonsenseshow.com. Homegrown violent extremists can be motivated by any viewpoint on the full spectrum of hate, anti-government views, racism, bigotry, anarchy, and other despicable beliefs. Those are the words of John Carlin, the assistant attorney general in charge of anti-domestic terrorism. Again, back, 4 or 5 months ago, October 2015. Now, Hodges, what he writes, as one can clearly observe, assistant AG John Carlin is clearly stating that if one disagrees with the government, they're considered under the Patriot Act to be a homegrown violent extremist. Now, reading that sentence, when I first read that sentence, I had thought, man, Dave's kind of taking a few liberties there. I talked to my source and had written some notes from my conversation with my source. And he said, look, what's happening here is now disagreement is being considered. But when I say disagreement, deciding with or even getting the word out about such things as the Mulhere National Wildlife Refuge, acting as a proponent or an embedded journalist, just ask Pete Santilli, for example, live streaming in the sense of being a non-traditional journalist, will in fact reclassify you to a greater threat to the country. And again, you might think, well, wait a second, this is all just, we've heard this before. Well, the NDAA does have a provision for relocation and for disappearing a person, as Dave Hodges has written. And the federal government have been engaged in a sequential and incrementally implanted scheme to do away with the First Amendment. And I looked at this and in my conversation with my source, and I was trying to determine how best this could be implemented. Well, as we look at not just the NDAA, but various treaties that include the TPP and other such treaties, they contain the language that conform to a global governance as opposed to a constitutional form of law. So if you, as an American citizen, are sitting in America, Yes, there is the U.S. Constitution. However, it is being subjugated deliberately through the executive actions which elevate the TPP, other treaties, and other globalist initiatives above and more incisive than the Constitution. And you think, well, how in the world is that even possible? Because that doesn't even sound right. We've got a Congress, you know, that consists of the Senate and the House of Representatives, 535 people. We've got 9, now 8 Supreme Court justices. We've got 3 branches of government. How is it possible that the executive branch, or merely the intelligence apparatus acting at the behest of the judiciary, how can they enforce unconstitutional measures that make us enemies of the state? Once more, you have to look at this not just by each and every executive action, executive order. Now you've got to look at the bigger picture, at the higher view, at the cruising altitude view. And in so doing, you'll see how all of these nefarious machinations, the wheels, the cogs, all are operating together. You see, the Gang of Eight, for example. What do I mean by the Gang of Eight? Folks, you've heard of the Gang of Eight. Eight lawmakers who, it's like a super Congress, created extra constitutionally to actually, ostensibly to smooth things out, you know, to step away from the bureaucracy. Well, the Gang of Eight actually, when you look at the Gang of Eight and you look at what they have been involved in the past couple of years, you can see that everything that really has been a scandal over the past 8 years now, everything that's been a scandal or everything that has been an alleged crime has been known by the Gang of Eight. This is a bipartisan super Congress that's working in tandem with the executive branch. What I mean as well, when I say every scandal or every crime, I'm talking about the initial gun running initiatives like Fast and Furious and the offshoots, because there are many offshoots. I'm talking about Benghazi. Every one of the 8 individuals of the Gang of Eight were aware of what was going on in Benghazi. People want to pinpoint it to Hillary or pinpoint it to Obama. Absolutely, they were at the tip of the spear. But so too were the Gang of Eight. So that's why when you have, for example, an investigation of Benghazi, an investigation of Fast and Furious, that investigation really is toothless, because they don't want to implicate their own, because they've got blood on their hands as well. And most people haven't heard of the Gang of Eight, or they don't know exactly what that is or what the special provisions are. But you can look it up. You can do your own research. But in addition to that, and we must also understand that despite the fact that the Congress, consisting of the House and Senate, what they have done over the last 8 years, and has anyone asked why this has taken place? They have ceded their authority to the executive, much of their authority to the executive branch. And we're seeing it happen right now with the vacancy in the Supreme Court, with Scalia. You can bet that the Congress will entertain any nominee by Obama for the vacancy created by the death of Justice Antonin Scalia. Guarantee you. Oh, you know what? And speaking of that, so glad to announce this. Chrisanne Hall And many people have written in and saying, hey, when can you have Chris Ann Hall on? Well, Chris Ann Hall, a constitutional attorney, she is going to be joining us Monday, March 7th. She's going to be joining us for really 30 minutes beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. That's Monday, March 7th. Chris Ann Hall, she'll be with us for about 30 minutes. She's extremely busy teaching the Constitution, but she was part and parcel to assisting in the stand down of the people at the Mulher National Refuge. And of course, she's very well known for her constitutional teachings. So that's Monday. Mark your calendars, Monday, March 7th. While I'm at it, and I might as well go ahead and take this diversion, while I'm at it, we've got a great, great schedule coming together. I'm going to go back to this week. So, folks, you don't have to, so it makes a little bit more sense. Tomorrow, we've got a fantastic guy that I've met, come to know. Many people might not know who this man is. Folks, have you ever heard of Tom Hoefling? Hoefling. TomHoefling.com. If you haven't, well, he's the presidential candidate for the American Constitutional Party. He's going to be joining us for the first 2 hours. And I thought, you know, right before Stan Dale, and I had talked to him, and before I got him on, I thought, to have a constitutional or American Party candidate, to me, I thought, well, that it's impossible. There's no way that he could win. Or even, no one's talking about it. It's got to be either a Democrat or Republican. And the more I spoke to different people, including Greg Jackson and others, I realized, wait a minute. It's difficult, but not that difficult to get a third party, some say an independent party. But in this case, the Constitutional Party, it's not that difficult to actually have a viable candidate for the office of the president. Now, I understand the arguments on all sides, but if you're a Christian out there and you want to vote, and you don't vote because there's no Christian candidate, well, you have one. I've talked to so many people who said, look, I'm not going to vote at all because who am I going to vote for? Who am I going to vote for? I mean, certainly not Hillary. And certainly, there's no one who would stand up for our constitutional and Christian values. So I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils because they're still evil. However, Tom Hoefling represents the Christian candidate that others don't like no other. Plus, he promised that I could be his Secretary of Defense in the event he gets elected and I could press the buttons to... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that. Actually, he said I'm not allowed. But anyway. But no, so Tom Hoefling will be joining us tomorrow for the first 2 hours, followed by Stan Dale. And then Thursday, Paul McGuire, all 3 hours. And I just wanted to get that out of the way. To let you know, well, that sounds horrible. But no, I wanted to make sure that you mark your calendars for that. Now, Paul's got some great information, as always, but I've got some specific questions for Paul this coming Thursday. Now, next, the week that follows, which would be next week, of course. Folks, have you heard of Vincent Finelli? Oh, I've known him for a number of years. He's a good friend of mine. Very good friend of the program. Vince Finelli, USAPreparers.com. You know, I was laughing my butt off today talking with him just about certain issues. And I promise you something. You want to know how to throw a monkey wrench in the system? You want to know how to be a fly in the ointment, as to quote Bruce Willis in Die Hard, you know, the fly in the ointment, the monkey in the wrench kind of thing? Vince Finelli, USA Preparers. He's got a radio show every day, and I can promise you, it's going to be informative. as well as entertaining. You want to know about preparations? You want to know how to be a real fly in the ointment to the system, to the bureaucracy, without getting in trouble? Vince Minnelli, good guy, and some very valuable information. You're just, it's just going to be great. Tony Soprano, I'll just say that. You can ask him about it on next Wednesday. That's on the 2nd of March. And then Friday, March 4th, Greg Jackson and Coach Dave Dobenmeyer will be on with us. And again, don't forget on March 7th, Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional attorney. Now, I also have some other things, working on Peter Lavenda coming and some other interesting guests that, we have not had on before. So I'm really excited about this. But getting back to the situation with the, situation as we have it with the, executive actions and how this government, how we have been gamed into captivity. The title of this episode is The Taking of America 1-2-3, which is actually a play off the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. And of course, if you know that, if you've watched that movie, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 is armed terrorists actually take over a train in New York City, hold it for ransom, the Pelham line. And we've actually rode on that line. But anyway, this is the taking of America 1-2-3, step by step, step one, step two, and step three. And as we always say, America is a captured operation. We've been captured from within. And in order to break that capture, we have to identify and then, of course, go after those bonds. We have to destroy those bonds. So, now, one thing we have to realize is that the independent media is really now in the crosshairs. And Dave Hodges is going to be speaking more on this here in the third hour. But anyone in the alternative media that has real information and has the credibility, and this is important, there are people in the independent media who have been placed there by the Obama regime to take away from the credibility of the real journalists or of individuals attempting to get the truth out. We know that. But anyone in the independent media deemed credible and deemed influential in the airwaves will or can be considered guilty of providing material support to the enemy. The key here is the redefinition of what an enemy is. And that definition has been expanded by executive action, and specifically by executive action, and also concurrent with the legislative, it's been re-expanded to include domestic terrorists, and that the definition of domestic terrorists include anyone with an influential, supportive ideology that, or an influential, pejorative influence. No, that's a double. Sorry about that. That's not, pejorative influence against the status quo of the government. How's that? For example, any media member who would interview, and we saw this happen in Oregon, someone who is promoting their cause against the government can be considered complicit in the conspiracy itself. So let's just say this. We don't even have to use analogies. If let's go back to the Oregon standoff. You had four holdouts or four individuals who were at that location, in tents at that location, or outside of the refuge after the initial FBI bust. Any person in the alternative media who would put a microphone in their face or give them airtime is actually giving, according to the government, aid, comfort, or aiding and abetting the so-called terrorists. So in other words, what we've got is a lack of distinction between the actors, subjects, the individuals involved in the activity, and the people who are reporting on it and supporting it, rallying people around it. So that blurring of that specific blurring, folks, is extremely important to understand. And that's at that juncture and that redefinition of an accomplice or aiding and abetting, that's where this becomes problematic. That's where we can fall into that definition, expanded definition of a domestic terrorist. And it's not just high-profile people. And I was talking again with Dave Hodges. I mean, we had communicated at 1 o'clock this morning, and I was talking with my source in D.C. That merely doesn't include, or it's not limited to high-profile situations. In fact, the lower profile, the better, especially after certain examples are made. And I think the examples have been made. Case in point, Santilli in Oregon, and there have been others, and there will be more. Now, Dave Hodges does reference a recent ACLU report, the federal government's material support and conspiracy statutes, and this is where it really gets into the technical nature of this. They allow the government to obtain convictions without having to show specifically that anything that, for example, I've done anything material to support the now redefined terrorists. So in other words, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what if I go in there or if I'm there present, proximity doesn't matter. Just the mere support places me or puts me in that position. This according to the ACLU. And this is not woo-woo nonsense. This is not conspiracy nonsense. This is serious stuff. And Dave Hodges does go into saying this is precisely what the Bundys and their colleagues are being charged with. In other words, in America, you're guilty of pre-crime. You go back to Philip Dick and pre-crime, and this is what we're seeing, the pre-crime. So if someone thinks you are going to do something, no act of Congress is necessary according to the recent interpretations of American jurisprudence. Providing material support for terrorism is a crime prohibited by the U.S. Patriot Act, Article 18 of the U.S. Code, Sections and 2339B. And again, you may not have done anything wrong, but the government thinks you are going to, or perhaps you might be engaged in such activities in terms of being vocal in your vocal support. And even Dave writes in there, this is not a new development, but what he's going to be talking about tonight will be a rather new development. And CNN, it's interesting because if you saw this, CNN, he writes, exposes a very dangerous agenda of all places or of all entities. Washington, CNN, domestic terror groups pose a greater threat to America than ISIS or Al-Qaeda. This according to a Justice Department official on Wednesday. You can see with the ramping up of the warnings now that things are happening at a breakneck speed. And folks, what this government wants, in particular, this government, this administration, it's not even an administration, it's a regime. And we need to go over the rules of the show again. For example, Obama, putative president at best, renegade more accurately in reference to a Secret Service code name. President Obama, really? Yeah, we haven't seen the legitimacy of a president since for a long time, and certainly not Obama. And by the way, while I'm at the rules of the show, Google is not a verb, all right? But Corzine is. More coming on that. But anyway, getting back to the more serious aspect of this. The Justice Department has created a new office. And you're not going to hear about this. Really, you're not going to hear much about this. This office, picture it like a fusion center would be, except this office is dedicated to investigate and prosecute what anybody or what is considered anti-government hate groups. Now, the hate group has, or hate speech and hate groups have been redefined as well, necessarily. And he writes, editor's note, Dave Hodges writes, it is legal to be anti-government in one's speech, and this attitude does not imply the subsequent use of violence. Okay, so in other words, what Dave Hodges is saying, make sure you understand that the distinction there, what they're saying is what the government is not saying is you need to be violent. What the government is saying is you don't need to be violent to be guilty of this. Now take note of that. And this strategy, and Dave Hodges is right, this is by incrementalism. And we're seeing this by incrementalism. So, more on that at, of course, when he joins us in the third hour. But you really pay attention to this. And this is what Drudge was referring to a while ago. All right. Now, I'm just looking at a number of different, I'm getting a lot of messages here that, you know, there are so many things taking place out there in terms of the hate speech and censorship. Folks, have you noticed about censorship? Have you noticed your Facebook postings, if you're on Facebook, have you noticed some of them being taken down or you being blocked? I have. We have. Have you seen on Twitter, for example, messages being erased or not allowed to be retweeted? I guess that's the proper terminology. Well, you're going to be seeing more and more of that. All right. So another thing too, and I'm just kind of shotgunning a lot of things here. The economy. We've got news on the economy. The second hour, we're getting more into the economy and the importance of this. Our resident Baltic Dry Index, Larry M. from Santa Clarita, California, checks in today, noting that the Baltic Dry Index inched up one more point today to close at 316. Folks, I can tell you something. This is my belief. 322. That's the number. Of course, the skull and bones number. That's the number to watch for. I do believe it's going to rest at that location or at that number at some point. And having said that, I believe that will give us, at that point, something will happen. I don't know if it's going to be a kind of a signal of sorts, especially if it stays at 322 for any length of time. All right. So watch that. That's the Baltic Dry Index. And let me hit a couple of other economy notes because there are some things taking place with the economy. From silver doctors, sub $20 oil to collapse markets and push precious metal prices higher. Let's remove the precious metals part of this out of the equation here. If you're looking at sub $20 oil prices, you're looking at a situation where the break-even point for the different countries. Now, every country has a break-even point when they're talking about the cost of or export of a barrel of oil. $20 is well below the break-even point of a lot of countries, including and especially Russia. So what we're seeing is this sub-$20 or whatever it does, whatever it might be, at least under 35, I believe, is or 32 is the break-even point for Russia. We're looking at a shot across the economic bow, or shot directly into the bow of the Russian economic boat. And this is what this is all about. We're talking about a war using where oil has been weaponized. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that. And also, as we see the war in Syria progress, and this is, my goodness, this is something that really I think everyone needs to really get a good handle on. I want to pull this up here, folks. If you haven't been paying attention to this, the war in Syria, you can see where it's getting worse. I mean, the threat of a world war, that is to say, a war that is going to go from a state and a regional conflict to a larger conflict, will increase. You know what? I'm going to wait for the second hour to get into that. I don't know how many people have heard this, but there's going to be about 100,000 dangerous or criminal illegal immigrants to be released. Now, if you've checked, there was a recent, in fact, I think the report came out today at the on the Washington Examiner. There are nearly 60% of illegal immigrants, or the illegal aliens, that have been identified by ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as criminal threats, who are not deported, but they're to be eventually, and have, many have been, and the rest will be eventually released. This is the, now the Washington Examiner writes that this is the latest example of the Obama administration's failed immigration policy. No, it's not a failure of the policy. It's the intent of the policy. It's the intent of the renegade. It's the intent of this administration. If you look at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement numbers from 2015, ICE encountered about 153,000 illegal immigrants, each labeled a violent criminal threat, but charged only 64,000. Another 88,000 were not processed for deportation. The numbers are even worse for those who ICE asks local police and sheriffs to detain, but they never come to pick up. It'd be like saying, hey, hold them. It'd be like ICE contacting your local law enforcement agency and saying, hey, you got so-and-so there at your jail. Hold on to them. We're going to pick them up. And then, you know, 5, 6, 7 days later, well beyond the legal statute, no one comes to pick them up. What do? They've got to be released. That number is not included in that 88,000. All right. Several sheriffs in the United States, and this is important, say that just a mere one third of those held are ever seized or are ever processed by ICE, even after they've been released, detained, and then released. So this is a system not broken. This is a system that has been designed for failure. And it's been designed for failure. It's been designed to do just what it's doing right now, and that's to allow this illegal influx, or this influx, massive influx of illegals into this country for the purposes of chaos. And don't forget, chaos is the Saul Alinsky tactic, is the socialist tactic, is the Marxist tactic, is the communist tactic that we're seeing play out today. So, it's finally coming out, and we've been holding off on this because I folks, I'm not sure. And how many people have seen this? There have been extreme numbers of reports, interesting reports, about the character and integrity of presidential candidate Marco Rubio. Now, I'm not one to necessarily grab onto a sensational headline by itself, but Radar Online is reporting this, and I checked on this. I mean, it's kind of with a heavy heart that I address this. Radar Online had identified some homosexual ties, parties. Well, in Marco Rubio's past. This is not me. This is Radar Online reporting this. And I'm not going to get too far into this, only to say that the baggage of Marco Rubio appears to be significant. Now, I don't believe, and this is my belief based on my research and investigation of the candidate, not of any of this sensational stuff, but just my research of Marco Rubio alone, I don't believe that, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, that he's constitutionally qualified to be President of the United States. That's just what I'm thinking. However, Radar Online has just published that that he has got some incredibly perverse, allegedly perverse sexual baggage in his background. Radar Online viewed, according to the report, shocking photos, one allegedly showing him at a manfest foam party where he splashed about in a skimpy bathing suit. Now, folks, you can Photoshop anything. You could take anything out of context. I've seen it happen. It happens to us, not of this nature, but of anything. But you know, and there was another picture that reportedly had him doing some gay dance. Well, I'm not even sure what that is. But the reports are that people in the homosexual community have said, look, this is well known of his proclivities. The only reason at this point that this is important is from a Christian, Judeo-Christian point of view, and also from a character and integrity point of view. I hope you can understand that. So rather than dwell on this, there are a couple of issues with respect to Marco Rubio. Folks, I don't know with authority whether they are correct, whether they're made up or what, but know that they're out there. Just understand that they're out there. And you can research them for yourself and decide for yourself the weight or importance of them. But I did want to mention that because you're going to be hearing more about this in the near term. There are a number of other things here. I'm just going through my list. I mean, I've got so much. We are just absolutely inundated with headlines. Excuse me. I just got an email from a law enforcement officer who verified basically what I said about the illegal invasion and so on. So thank you for that. I'm not going to get into any further about that, but understand that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement is actually following to the letter the agenda mapped out by Obama. All right, it's not a failure of policy; it's an intent of policy. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that one of the issues, and a very important issue, that exists before the Supreme Court right now, is that of immigration. So, which brings me to the point of Scalia's death. But hold on, just one moment here with respect to illegal immigration. And I've said this before. Right now, there are about 35 cases before the Supreme Court this term. And of the 35 cases, about 7 are extremely important. And one, of course, is the case of the United States versus Texas, which concerns the legality of the Obama regime, their immigration policies that, if allowed to take effect, will temporarily enable close to 5 million undocumented immigrants to remain in this country. It's also the case that presents the most opportunity for chaos in this open court, if the court evenly decides on the outcome. Now, what does that mean? Well, if they rule on a 4-4, if they have a 4-4 ruling, traditionally, in a lawful setting, the lower court's ruling stands. In this case, it would block Obama's efforts to allow this mass alien, illegal alien immigration. Now, according to various reports, in a highly unusual order, a federal district judge issued a nationwide halt to the policy and refused to stay that decision. In other words, a conservative panel of the conservative United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit upheld those decisions by the circuit judge. Thus, if the court splits the 4-4 case in Texas, the Fifth Circuit court order will stand. Now, here's where things get kind of complicated. And I don't want to lose too many people or even myself, right? It gets complicated if the Justice Department successfully obtains an order from different circuit courts upholding the program, or if an immigrant who hopes to benefit from the program obtains a similar order. So what they're saying is, look, this can go a number of different ways, and it could go badly, especially with a 4-4 split down the middle, which it appears to be. But it will go worse if, in fact, we have a justice that is nominated and approved in this Congress that will take the court to an ideological left of center bias. And I believe that to be the case. The information I have, folks, and I had said this on Paul Begley's show, I think it was Friday, and I believe I said this on Friday night. I'm going to restate this again. The information I've received is there will be not just this vacancy of Scalia due to Scalia's death, but I do believe that there will be according to the information I have, yet another Supreme Court vacancy during Obama's remaining term. And when I say vacancy, I'm not necessarily saying, well, there's going to be, you know, somebody's going to die. No, that's not the case. It's very possible that you're going to see a Supreme Court justice resign, and that would give Obama the ability to place or to nominate and have confirmed two left of center ideological candidates. Think about that. And I do have some other issues about other information about Scalia, some interesting information about the Islamic threat inside America that's being used by, well, it's being used by the actually, it's being used by the globalists. I've got some information about the non-reported shootouts, the attacks in New York. Did you hear about this, folks? A shootout where a devout Muslim ambushes fires at 8 New York City police officers, 2 officers injured. And who exactly is Bernie Sanders? What does he stand for? And, well, what about the TSA and other initiatives? Where do they stand right now, especially in the final months of the Obama regime? This does segue nicely into what we're going to be talking about in the third hour. So, there we have it. And also some information geopolitically about the war in Saudi Arabia and the regional war and about how things will play out there. Notice I'm sticking my ear in there because I can't hear the prompts for the top of the hour. If I didn't do that. And of course, we've got some news with regard to the Vatican and, just some other sundry news. And if you have any questions, folks, or anything you want to talk about in advance of Dave Hodges, his appearance for the third hour, just go ahead and send me a contact or send me an email, studio@hagmanandhagman.com, and we can just take this time to chat that way, and we can address whatever you might be on your mind in that fashion. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Hagman Report. I'll be right back. Oh, wait a minute. My program clock is off. Eric just gave me the sign. Apparently, I'm in a different time zone than Eric is. That's interesting. All right. Anyway, so yeah, we can just sing along with me, folks. No, I apologize. My program clock is off as opposed to the one in the studio. So now that was awkward. Now it's awkward, huh? It's awkward. That's what I said. Well, not that awkward. My wife just came to the studio to bring me coffee. Hi. Yeah, would you like to come on air? No, that was uncalled for. Hey. Don't do that. No, she actually brought the studio dog to the studio. Folks, we're going to be in Dallas, too. We're going to be in Dallas in, 3 weeks? You can at least answer that. 3 weeks from today? No, 3 weeks from this coming Thursday, right? We'll be in Dallas at Hear the Watchman Conference. Hope to meet everyone there. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. All right. Perfect. Folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. Doug Hagman flying solo. Gonna be right back. Stay with us. Hang in there. More on the other side.